Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Match Ball.
Hello, welcome to the Match Ball Live, brought to you with Levi Solicitors. There is a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan Moylan with you, along with Michael Normanton and Rob Conlon. Full-time chat, final one before the World Cup break. Didn't see that coming, or did we? 4-3, bit disappointing, wasn't it, to be in front three times and come out with nothing?
We've seen that defence before.
We have, yeah.
That is predictable enough.
I did think when Rodrigo put us 3-2 up, this would be too funny to win this. To be, what, 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, thinking, well, Marsh has got three games to save his job, and for him to have come out with that, with 9 points, would have just been too funny. So It was very Leeds United to do what we did.
Yeah, well, we finish up, we're 14th on 15 points, 2 points off the drop zone at the minute. Would have looked a lot prettier, obviously, with 3 points in the bank, but wasn't to be. What a strange and silly game. Where did it go right? Where did it go wrong?
Defence, badly wrong. All over the place. I mean, we should probably address the fact that even given the defence being shambolic, three of the Spurs goals were dead spawny.
Yeah.
Because the first one, what the fuck? Yeah. I mean, there's not. I don't see anyone would watch that and not think that's a foul on the goalkeeper. It's one of those that you could, it would have been very hard to justify not giving it in a pre-VAR days when it was something as obvious as that. But then the fact you've now got that to look at and they just choose not to.
Yeah.
Bizarre. I don't even think there's that much you can say about it. It's just wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it is a foul.
Yeah, on the feed we were watching, the CoCom was basically chatting about it in the past tense of, oh, well, that's a shame. That's been ruled out because that's clearly not going to get given because Melier has been taken out by Lenglet and there was Richarlison going in there to take him out as well.
I mean, it just jumped into me. This is not one team bias, is it? You look at that objectively and go, well, that's a foul.
Yeah, I'll be listening to the Spurs fans for propaganda and I'm certain I will come across Spurs fans on live streams going, ah, it's going to be ruled out.
Yeah.
Because that's what you would obviously think, having witnessed a foul. And just to rub salt into the wound, when you saw it from the other angle, you see Kane also give Adams a big shove in the back as the corner's coming in. So
Kane gets to do what he wants, though, doesn't he, basically?
Yeah. He got that ridiculous free kick as well, didn't he, in the first half when he just basically fell over and asked for it. And the ref went, yeah, fine.
That's what happens with him, isn't it? But that's not to say that, you know, we should stress that's not the reason why we're saying we lost. It was defensively, wasn't it, that we weren't great. But equally, there were a couple of deflected goals in there, which is frustrating. Mm. Like particularly like the one that bounces off Melier's back, off Christensen. Just, you know, it's just sod's law, isn't it? But yeah, to go in front three times and come out with nothing hurts. But then yeah, I guess this is how, you know, Bournemouth's fans felt when we, you know, overturned a three-goal victory to win 4-3 at Elland Road. But there's plenty to be optimistic about, I think, with that game. There was lots to like about it. But God, defensively wise and tactically, it didn't look good towards the end. I mean, loads of people are saying that Marsh got it wrong by going to five at the back and inviting pressure. Is that being said with the aid of hindsight, or do you think that's a tactical failing?
Yeah, it's funny because at 72 minutes, I was making a note that we need some energy in attack and it felt like we needed to change up front just to get a bit of energy.
I've written the exact same thing.
And then 4 minutes later, I've written that, oh, Rodrigo scored. Yeah. And so...
And he was one of the players who I thought looked tired.
Yeah, definitely. He was just kind of walking around, which is kind of what he does as the games go on. And then he comes up with a goal. So you sort of think, well, Marsh is justified. And then, but then with the other goals, I don't know whether it's going to five at the back or would we have been pulled apart as much, certainly for the fourth goal, had there been a bit more energy in front of the defence to stop Spurs getting there.
So you're looking for changes rather than, like from the bench rather than tactical changes, you mean?
Yeah, just a bit of energy. But like I say, I don't know.
That's what's happened at Southampton
before. Yeah, that's what I was about to say, yeah.
He's been guilty of that before, has Marsh. But I do come out of that. I just think, you know, I've been really unlucky.
Right.
I think unlucky is I think that is a fair point. I think we should have got something from the game, probably. Because Spurs are not very good, are they?
Yeah. They're strange, aren't they?
Got some very good players, but as a unit, like we cut through them pretty easily. Like the Somerville goal and Rodrigo's first one, we didn't seem to have to do an awful lot to just be throwing goal, did we? They were quite easy chances in
which is to, which is to our credit. We were good going forward, weren't we?
Yeah,
like we looked dangerous.
And,
going
well, until an hour 70 minutes when absolutely all of them looked shattered, because I thought Rodrigo looked tired. Aronson was got really sloppy and looked like he couldn't really run anymore. Rocker always looks a little bit tired, doesn't he, when he's has to do more than an hour. So it looked like there was just a gap emerging in the middle of the pitch because we didn't have the legs to actually do the pressing anymore.
Yeah, I'm just looking back through the goals. I mean, the notes that I made, it was mainly just goals I've got written in front of me, but one thing I did note was that Spurs were giving up possession a fair bit. Like, the press was really, really working well for us early doors, I thought. And then after that, we scored and Somerville put us 1-0 up, which he took really, really well, didn't he? That was some good footwork again from him.
Just always scores, doesn't he?
Yeah, every game.
It was Marsh was only saying the other week that he's not going to score every week, but I think he's wrong.
The evidence suggests otherwise. But yeah, and Aronson did well in the build-up to that one.
Yeah, nice pass through.
So then we got that 10 minutes. Then I noted Strouk's haircut. So he's no longer a big, sexy pirate. But again, the humour around that feels utterly misplaced in the wake of losing 4-3 like that.
He's still big and he's sexy, though.
Yeah, that is true. And then 26 minutes, it's 1-1 with that ridiculous goal. Should have been ruled out. Have we said everything we need to say about that one?
I don't think there's just not much. There's not much analysis needs doing.
It's obvious, isn't it?
It just is a foul. It just is a foul. Someone's not got. They were not even looking at the ball, either. They're just
jumping into
They're just jumping into the goalkeeper. It just is a foul.
It's like you said, watching it, Dan, it was almost too laughably obvious to get angry at it, because you just think, well, what am I getting angry at here? Because it's all nonsense, isn't it?
It's completely self-evident, yeah.
There was, before they equalised, Crescencio Somerville had another one-on-one with Lloris, which was a very good chance, which he seemed to take a big touch and you were expecting Lloris to come get the ball and then he never appeared. And then, yeah, Somerville got a toe onto it, didn't he? I thought he might have taken it around the keeper. But yeah, we maybe should have gone 2-0 ahead then.
And then what happened between the 1-1 at 26 minutes and Rodrigo scoring to make it 2-1? I've got nothing in that. There's sort of a nearly 20-minute void there.
What happened in between that is that we started slagging off Rodrigo. Don't even know he's on the pitch. And about 30 seconds later, he volleyed one in. Brilliant goal.
He did.
Egg on my face.
He hit the post as well at one point, but it was offside, wasn't it?
He likes so much about Leeds United at the minute. He's just very enigmatic, isn't he? In that you think he's doing nothing and then suddenly he pops up with a goal and then another one as well to make us look daft. But maybe this is just it. You know, the level that we're at, the waters that we're swimming in, the players that we can recruit, sometimes are going to look great, other times are going to look mediocre. Mm. I don't know.
Well, that's where I sort of feel like I can't get too angry about 4-3 and that. I just feel unlucky. I sort of look at Rodrigo and I look at Marsh and I just think this defies all kind of analysis. It just everything, every time I think something, they just go and prove me wrong and make me look daft. But then likewise, when I think, oh God, brilliant, they go and throw it away. So I don't really know. I mean, I've had a really confusing afternoon because I was also watching the England Rugby League semi-final. So I've sort of been watching two crushing defeats, albeit that was quite funny, the England game. So yeah, I don't really know. I can't really tell you anything about either, which is useful.
What did you think at half time then? So we're 2-1 up just before half time. What was the second goal like? I've forgotten. There's been so many. Rodrigo's first goal was
A corner was cleared. That was when the Spurs fan was shouting at Aronson, shouting your shit, and that's why you play for Leeds. And then corner was cleared. Cooper heads it back towards the edge of the box, and Rodrigo just appeared out of nowhere and volleyed it into the bottom corner.
Perlo's beard questions my use of the term enigmatic. He's not enigmatic, he's just good. Been scoring for us all season, but he has. Yeah, fair enough. If he is good, then fine. I accept that I'm wrong. Half time, what did you reckon at that point? Did you know which way it was going to go then at that point, or did you feel like it was going to be chaotic? Or,
well, you know me.
Well, I do. It's a rhetorical question when Michael's concerned.
I thought we'd probably gone to lose.
And we did. You were proved right.
We did. Good.
So well done.
Good to be right.
You scored some pessimism points.
I didn't say it though, in fairness, did I? I always have fears.
What about you, Rob? Do you think at half time then?
I never know what to predict with Leeds now. I thought it was heading towards us kind of being shithouses, time wasting, the Spurs crowd getting frustrated. You even saw it with Tottenham were out quite early for the second half and we made them wait. But then after about 5 minutes, they'd equalised, hadn't they? And it was a bit like, right, okay.
Yeah, that came at 50. It was came at 51, did that, yeah. So it was like 6 minutes into that half. And that's the one that bounced off Melier's back. It has been pointed out in the comments on YouTube, live streaming on YouTube, by the way, for TSB Plus members, that had it not bounced off Melier's back, it was going to go straight to Kane's feet anyway. So it might have ended up in the net.
Yeah, possible. I mean, that we were asleep on that, the build-up to that, weren't we? That was one where they took a quick throw and someone got in behind and then Cooper put a bit of a soft challenge in and it was cross, wasn't it?
Which the falling asleep at a throw thing had happened in the first half as well, where they'd had a throw in and then suddenly they were in on goal on Melier, who made the save. So yeah, I guess there is cause for concern with the defending at that point.
Cooper and Cox seem to be all over the place today, I thought. They just seem constantly out of position. I don't know what, I don't know if something Spurs had done to make it happen, but it felt like Cooper was running backwards an awful lot, trying to retrieve a situation, which he just, there was no control.
But we do play very, very high up the pitch though, don't we? That could be part of it, and which is one of the sort of ongoing problems, is these balls getting dropped in behind the defence or behind the fullbacks, which happened again today. So then what happened between 51 and 76 when we went 3-2 up? I've got no notes in that void either. It was just, it's just end to end, wasn't it? It was the shapeless and formless. I think Phil Hay was who tweeted during the game that you just didn't know what was going to happen next. And it felt a little bit like that, didn't it? Just two teams going toe to toe. And I guess it's always said with the aid of hindsight that you think when you get in front, you then want us to try and game manage it better. And the way that Marsh sought to do that would be to go five at the back. But then because it cost us in the end, you've got, don't manage it like that. Manage it differently. Manage it so we win.
Yeah, it's easier to do afterwards, isn't it? But I don't think it necessarily, the substitutions, I don't think they addressed what was going wrong in the game for us.
Right, which was what? We were just knackered.
Which was that we looked tired and we were losing control of midfield. It felt like they were just able to walk through us too easily, which was then putting pressure on the defence. So by adding to the defence, you don't solve the problem of them just getting through it, the midfield, easily.
I suppose we've not mentioned that at halftime he changed Nonto for Greenwood, and it felt a bit like, oh, I've used my change for that, for like high up the pitch.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, right, I'm just going to sit on it now. I'll change the defence, but I don't really want to change. I suppose Greenwood is often the guy that slots into midfield. And he'd already used that change, so it was like, oh, right, I don't know what to do up front now, because he always just brings Joffe on for the last 5 minutes. And he can't bring him on any earlier.
Some interesting thoughts here about VAR. Just returning to that, someone's tweeting, as Tom Murray saying, each team should get one VAR review per half. Use it, lose it, like cricket, captain's choice. That's interesting. Interesting thought.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, we might have said we want VAR to look at this, and they'd have gone, nope, absolutely fine that.
But look at it again.
You can't just go back to going, no, but what's happened there is you're wrong. So keep watching it until you've decided it's a foul, because so, it was.
They could all gather around the big screens, couldn't they? Like, all stand in a circle and say, look at that. That's a foul. So yeah, 3-2, Rodrigo. That was good, wasn't it? That was really well taken, that.
And it was nice as well, because we scored off the back of someone diving for them.
Yeah.
Because someone was trying to, I mean, it did happen later on. I think someone was trying to get Tyler Adams sent off and did a big, and went past him and did a big flop, and the ref played on, and we just put the ball straight through to him. Who put the ball through, actually?
It was Cooper won the ball, didn't he? And then was it Rocker that passed through to
was
Rodrigo?
Yes.
And not going to lie, never expected him to score from there. But brilliant finish again.
Exactly what you want from
a
forward.
And a very good celebration. Flappy hands.
Yeah, the kid at a kid's party. 5-year-old vibe. Toddler vibe. It's great.
I think maybe that goal, I mean, maybe the goal confused Jesse a bit, because it masked some of the problems that were going on at that point in the game, because the game had turned against us at that point. But then we scored, and I think maybe he would have made changes had we not. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to change from a winning position, isn't it? But like I say, it's always hindsight we say these things from, isn't it? Position of hindsight. So 76, didn't realise we were only in front for 5 minutes. That's a bit of a blow, isn't it? That was 3-3. That was the deflection, wasn't it, that one?
Yeah, so this is Ayling. So Ayling comes on and it all goes wrong.
Poor Ayling.
That's basically it. But yeah, this is another one that shouldn't count because it was deflected.
So how many are we chalking off? We're chalking off one
three.
For VAR.
One's an own goal.
So that's an own goal.
And then the Ayling deflection. So they only scored one proper goal.
Yeah, because on the grounds of being not fair.
Correct, yes.
Not fair. Either the goal is too shit, or likewise, we were saying that if a goal is too good, you should be able to say, well, no, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, in my notes here, I wrote down 3-3 deflection, then 83, 4-3 fuck off.
Yeah. I, from looking at my notes, actually, from the first half, I'd have to double check the passage of play on this, but from their first goal that should have been disallowed for VAR, I'm pretty sure in that, because there was a run of two or three corners in a row, I'm pretty sure the first corner they get from that is Kane does a really blatant push on Christensen as well that is overlooked by the referee. Then they get a corner from that, and then it leads to other corners which they score from. So robbed is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
By ourselves, as it turns out, yeah, as well.
A bit of shooting in the foot as well.
Yeah, so. Very much so.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
And then 87 minutes, obviously, Adams gets his red card.
A crucial bit of note taking and made. 75 minutes, Jesse's a tiger, where the camera hooked him and he was just stood like this for a time. The stream might have frozen, but he was...
A bit like the Thriller video.
Mm, I was thinking Gareth Cheeseman, you're a tiger. That one.
One for you to Google if you don't know what that refers to. so he misses the Man City game, does Tyler Adams.
Yeah.
I know we've got a bit of a break now in the World Cup and so on and so forth. But he misses Man City.
It's funny, we were praising him this week or last week for being really good at kind of getting...
Right up to the line.
Getting going right up to the line, never over it.
His head was on vacation.
He knew it as well, the second one. I can't remember his first booking. Was that deserved? I'm going to say it was a dive.
Let's say no. Yeah, let's say wasn't deserved.
But yeah, when he did that second tackle, you see his face turn. He sort of goes.
It's like a Gazza in the semi final, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Just knew.
Yeah. Oh well, we're not going to win that Man City game anyway. Give him a nice extra break from winning the World Cup.
Yeah. What have we got then? We've got us losing, and it's a World Cup break now. Boo.
Shit World Cup. Stupid season. Fuck off.
Have you seen the this video doing the rounds of what some of the fan park stuff looks like?
Mm.
It looks
shipping container in the desert.
Yeah,
for £200 or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's $200. Yeah, but per occupant, $200 per room, so only $100 per occupant, which is great. I mean, now we've got to dwell on that. You see, until we come back, at least we don't have to stress. The stress might have subsided a bit by Christmas. We can enjoy Christmas and then come back. But
we're not in the bottom three, are we? So that's good.
No, we're not.
Which I really, really did expect us to be in the bottom three.
I mean, we're 14th, which you would have probably taken, I think, wouldn't you, going into this break? But you'd want a bit more of a buffer. And at one point, I think we were 5 or 6 points clear of the bottom three. But it's such fine margins at this level, isn't it, in this division?
Mm. Is it Forest have won today, haven't they?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
so they're up to 18th now. So Wolves bottom, Southampton are looking bad, which is good. And Fat Frank dropping like a stone as well. So
they'll bin him, won't they?
Not his fault, though, I believe.
They've got to bin him off. I said, didn't we? I predicted at the start of the season it'd be the World Cup break when he went.
Oh, God, they'll sack him, then Southgate leaves after the World Cup, and then we get Frank as England manager.
Failing his way up, he's the Peter principle in action, isn't he? Yeah. It's funny, isn't it, how to know how to feel about that, especially now we've got this long layoff where you don't think, oh, we can just go back next week and make it right.
Mm. It's weird because we've had... We obviously had like the month break earlier on this season, but I do kind of, I've got no enthusiasm for this World Cup whatsoever, but I am kind of glad we've got a break coming up now because the last few, I mean, it's just always mad, isn't it, supporting Leeds, but it was like last week before the Bournemouth game, I'd had like the best sleep I'd had in ages and I woke up really refreshed. And then by the end of the day, I just felt exhausted again. Maybe a little break from all this will do us all good.
Mm. Get Pat Bamford fit, of course. He'll be raring to go when we get back from the break.
Don't be so negative, Michael.
At what point are you allowed to be negative about someone who's been injured forever?
The flip side of this is actually we don't have that many players going off to the World Cup now, do we? Yep. Now the squads have been announced. So it is a chance for maybe a little bit of R&R, get some players fit again.
We've ruined many an international career, is what you can see from the World Cup squads.
Yeah, and a chance to go at it afresh, and now they've got time to plan an attack. January, I guess, is the next window, isn't it?
Yeah. No left back, no striker.
I'd like both.
The thing is that, like, I think Cooper's been quite bad, I have to say.
Do we need a centre half more than anything?
Well, I think we've probably got one, but he's playing left back.
Right.
So maybe if we could just buy a left back, a proper one, and then let Strouk have a decent run in his actual position. Yeah. I think that might be an idea.
It'd be nice to see, wouldn't it? I do wonder if part of the thing today of the defence just seemingly going missing all the time is the typical thing of the space behind the fullback, and then everyone gets dragged across or dragged out of position. It's really hard to work out because, yeah, in the first half in particular, it just seemed to be Eric Dier, weirdly, popping up on the right wing, which was kind of good. I mean,
it was him.
Yeah, the first few notes I've got is Dier, horrendous, mad back pass, and then Dier in loads of space in the right, but it's okay because it's Eric Dier. And then it was Somerville's goal, and it was Dier trying to tackle him, and he just couldn't get the ball off him. But yeah, there is that typical flaw of space behind the fullback, and then everyone seems to get dragged out of position. But then you do wonder if we had an actual proper left back, and then likewise Pascal Strouk playing centre half, would that look any differently?
Yeah. Or in fairness, Strouk might move to centre back and look bad there, because if it's a systemic failure for the defence, if it's a system that is set up to fail in a specific way, which it does seem to be. I mean, it's good. I suppose the fourth goal was quite like the goals we concede. But I think the first three they didn't score the classic goal against Leeds goal, did they? I don't think.
Do you think
the long ball in behind fullback, it felt like they were a bit they were a little bit different at least.
The charge that was always levelled at Bielsa was that we shouldn't be going all out attacking games to try and win them. And we've kind of found ourselves almost in the same place again, but a different style of football, haven't we? In that our front foot approach is what puts us 3-2 in front today, but has also ultimately cost us. And you look at, like, the Bournemouth game could have potentially gone either way, couldn't it? But momentum swung with us on that occasion. Whereas today, it just swung with Spurs, and, you know, go back to that saying about fine margins. So I don't know. If we're more defensive, do we score three goals at Spurs? It's hard to say, isn't it? It's hard to know.
It's always the thing as well, isn't it, that the plan is never to concede four goals and be really wide open at the back, but if you do the plan slightly wrong or whatever, then it is very tight in this league, isn't it, where it doesn't take much, then you have conceded four goals out of nothing.
Yeah,
I do think Somerville in place of Harrison as well, I think we do lose a bit of defensive work without Harrison on the pitch. But I mean, obviously I would keep playing Somerville because he scores every single game, so that's worth having, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Controversial that, but keep him in. But I do think that's maybe something we need to come to terms with a bit more, with having Somerville in, is that maybe you need someone to provide a bit more cover, whether it's, I don't know, someone like Rocker maybe has to drop a bit deeper or something to enable him to stay forward.
Getting into tactics though, aren't we, there, which is scary territory for any of us. Where are we then going into the break, do you think, overall?
I mean, better than I thought would be.
The goal is 14th to 10th, isn't it, and we're 14th, so. And given where we were, I was expecting it to be a lot worse by this point.
Yeah. It's kind of, I think it's frustrating today because I don't think that Spurs team are any good. And I think the crowd were...
But they are, aren't they? They've got lots of good players.
They're not a very good team, though. They don't play very good football. And I feel like they're in a strange spot as well. And
they didn't need to play good football. They scored past us four times.
You didn't get the impression that fans are very happy with it, though.
No.
Like there was quite a bit of... I noticed the biggest cheer of the day was probably Emerson Royale being taken off.
I was just about to mention him when he had that chance early on, 17 minutes in. I've got it here and it fell to him. You just think, oh, he's going to put the ball in the net here. He just blazed it over. And I think their fans were desperate to see the back of him by that point.
I mean, that chance was essentially the same as a couple of the goals they did score, wasn't it? With the kind of getting in behind and cutting back. And the centre-backs, our centre-backs seem to always be dropped really deep when people get in behind us, but then it means there's a massive gap at the edge of the box for people.
It often seems to be the centre-halves and the defence are looking at the central midfielders, a bit like, well, why have the opposition attackers got all this space on the edge of our box? And it's hard to work out where these systematic things are coming, like where the actual problem is, I think.
Because that's how we were conceding goals last season as well. I remember the Villa home game, which was Marsh's first home game, wasn't it? They scored goals like that in that game as well, where they just spaced out wide, pull it back to the edge of the box, loads of space there as well. So we're essentially marking the 6-yard line, which is not a huge amount of use.
It was the goal that came from the quick throw-in. It was Rocker sort of pointing at an attacker running off him into the box. Mm. But he was running a bit behind a defender, and you sort of think, well, can you not follow him? That might help.
It's been pointed out in the YouTube comments that Spurs are 3 points off Man City. So it's not like they're bad. I think they're maybe not attractive. They're very effective, aren't they? Because, like I say, they scored 4 times against us while not really setting the world on fire. But maybe that's just what Conte does. He has a way of winning.
Maybe so. I suppose every time I've seen him, I don't watch him every week, but when I've seen him, nothing about him looks particularly scary.
Yeah. And they got booed off at half-time.
Even though they've got some, they obviously have some really good players, like, I don't feel, I suppose that's why I'm annoyed that we didn't get something from the game, just because I feel like we could have done. And it was there for us. Mm. The lead was there.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Disappointing, but plenty to be encouraged about. But do you feel like we know more about this team now than we did, say, a week ago or 2 weeks ago? Or is it all still are the parameters still very wide for you?
It's just very confusing. I thought we were absolutely terrible following the Leicester game and Fulham. I thought we looked absolutely finished, doomed to relegation. Whereas actually across the balance of these 3 games...
We look fine.
Actually, no, it's still all a fucking mess, isn't it? Because that first hour of Bournemouth was dreadful as well. But then, you know, in between it, yeah, some very good bits too.
It's weird. I do think there is a really good team there, or a good team there, but then we do lots of bad things.
Mm.
So I don't know how I gauge them at all.
Yeah. I suppose the encouraging thing is I think most of the players are actually fine.
Mm.
I don't think we have many bad footballers, because we've sat and watched season upon season of bad footballers playing for Leeds, and I don't feel like we've really got too many of them at the moment.
Mm.
But we can't overlook the fact that teams do the same things all the time against us, and defensively, like, how many goals have we conceded now this season? It feels like a fucking lot, is what I'm going to say. 26 we've conceded.
So, but how many have we scored? We've scored 22, have we? Scored 22, conceded 26.
I mean, well, thankfully, on your points system, we've got three points today, haven't we?
Well, actually, it does. As much as you might want to try and poke me with a stick about that, it's not my point system. It's Nick Harris at Sporting Intel, who pointed out the close correlation, roughly, between goals scored and points you get on the board, right, come the shake-up. And you're never that far out from it. But what you can do is look at it and say, we've got 15 points, but we've scored 22 goals. The problem's at the other end.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what it points to.
It's weird, because at the start of the season, it felt like, oh, we're defending all right, but, you know, where are the goals going to come from? Mm. Now it's completely switched on its head, which again just adds to that confusion of, what the fuck are we? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, only Forest and Bournemouth conceded more goals than us, which ain't great, considering Bournemouth conceded 9 in one game and 4 against us.
We've scored more than Man United. We've scored the same as Brighton.
Yeah.
Same ballpark as Fulham, scoring
goals, on the plus side, scoring goals is harder to do. So if we can just make some defensive tweaks, I just don't know what Marsh does with it, because it's, I don't know, he surely knows what this problem is. Like, it's evident to see it most weeks with the goals teams score against
us. But that brings us back to the idea of, is it a systematic failing, doesn't it? And we can kind of go around the houses on
it's
that.
It's his system.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah.
So like, maybe look at why it's failing. I don't know. I'm sure he is.
Feels to me like, I don't know about you, now we've got this chance for a break. Everyone needs to go away and exhale. Because I've seen quite a few extreme reactions this afternoon online about this. People saying, you know, awful game management. And I think, yeah, maybe it was lacking a bit, but games do get away from you a bit, don't they? Sometimes. It just happens.
It is hard.
Football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you can't overlook the fact it's really difficult, and you're not, you know, there are two teams involved in it as well. You know, you've got someone normally ends the game happier, and normally along the way, someone has made some changes to make something happen. So, you know, you can't always be on the winning side of those things.
Well, Marsh has said, we've encapsulated our 16-game season in one match. Moments we're in control and moments when we're vulnerable and make easy mistakes. It's just a lot of moments when we're in control of matches. We can't seem to stay on top.
It is weird, though, because then he's spoken in the past about how he wants us to... We're going to be on top in, like, little spells, and we need to score in little spells. And you do think, well, what are we going to do for the other, like, 80 minutes? It can't all just be based around a good 10, 15 minutes here and there. I don't.
I guess in the spells, I suppose it means a bit of controlled possession, but I feel like that's where we're at our weakest.
I just don't see.
But then again, don't you think we did that quite well for a period in that game? where we just seem to take this thing out of it when Spurs were getting on top. And I can't remember which spell of the game it was. Maybe it's one of those that I couldn't remember earlier on, where we just seem to just knock it around a bit, stop them having it, and just calm everything down a bit. So there were times when we did. Just further comments from Marsh. My thoughts are we have a good team and we're improving. We're finding ways to be good for more stretches in matches. But when we have lapses, we're vulnerable. In the end, we're still making sure guys are on top of principles at all times.
Hmm.
Should we just go away
just
and have
some words, isn't it? He says that every week.
Shall we just go away and have a little break and we'll see what everything is and how it all unfolds over the break and what January brings, I guess.
I suppose so.
Yeah, so what else have we got then? We've got coming up Phil Hay Show on Monday, then we're off to the FSA Awards.
Yes.
Which is going to be fun.
Yeah, so other podcasts will
it'll
be a
delay
bit,
everything a little
a bit later this week.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be coming.
Yeah, so Monday we'll be down there, Tuesday coming back and hungover. And then, yeah, Wednesday, Thursday-ish, we'll get back together. Phil Hay Show is taking a break as well now until after the World Cup, unless something big happens in the world of Leeds United. Do you expect anything big to happen in the world of Leeds United?
Yeah, it normally does.
you're right. You're right. But yeah, we will be carrying on regardless as well with our World Cup shows, and we'll cover what happens in the World Cup and cheer on our players, I guess.
Our USA boys.
Maybe not all the games. Maybe not all. We might have to divide the
I don't know. I hate Harry Kane after today. Fuck off.
Fair point.
I was willing someone to injure him so he missed the World Cup during that game.
Let's wrap
completely
it up
completely spitefully
then. Let's wrap it up there then. We will return with the usual stuff through the week as well. We'll speak to you soon.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.